بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سینٹ ایز رحمت، وہ نبیوں میں رحمت از اے پرسونیفیکیشن اینڈ ایمبوڈیمنٹ آف رحمت. سو ہیز آؤٹ لک واز ہاؤ کین پیپل بی اشرڈ ان ٹو دا مرسی آف اللہ تعالیٰ فرام دا لوئسٹ of the low to the highest of the high, from the worst of sinners to the best of rulers, whoever, but all must be ushered into the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So you have to see what are the problem areas where people go off. Now they have to go on the line. That's the only way. And you go off the line, there's no movement. Look at a train, right? When the train is on the line, there is movement. But if it is off the line, it's got everything, the engine, the aircon, the best of seats, best of furniture, latest technology. But can you move 1 meter? So the movement is subject to the train being on the line. So now the same, the movement by Allah Ta'ala has to be on a line. If it's on the line, then there is movement, there is progress. And if there is no line, then there is no progress, it can't move. No matter what you try, you put on the best clothing, buy the best type of homes, the best type of charitable work you do, the best type of ibadat you perform, but you're not on his line. When you're not on his line, on Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's line, there's no movement, can't move. See, the train got all technology, best engine, best driver, best furniture, everything. And you may say, the only problem, can't move only because it's not on the line. So same, you know, not on the line, then you can't move. So Rasulullah has to see now, what are the problem areas of man which prevents him coming onto the line? So he identified 3 main problems. The one problem was wealth. Allah Ta'ala could have sent people to Jannah straight, made them, place them in Jannah, made them, place them in Jannah. But his wisdom chose that you go through a trial and then get in. Because what comes with the level of pain and difficulty is appreciated. If you just enjoy it like that straight, you don't appreciate. Child is not working, working, not working, every day he's getting a chocolate, a cold drink, everything he's getting. Is he going to appreciate? But you set some targets for the child. This is what you must do, school, madrasa, and you obtain those targets, and will give you this. So you gave him some targets, he worked for it, and he got it. Now he appreciates. He didn't have to work for it, now he'll appreciate. One person got a pair of shoes, 100 rand, right? And he's got a silken shawl. A silken shawl is about 20,000 rand. So he's taken the silken shawl, he takes the silken shawl, and he's polishing his shoes, 100 rand. Now that's worn out, so it'll be 25 rand. 25 rand, this is 50,000 rand, and he's polishing his shoe. What happened, right? He says, you know, the shoes, I worked for it. 25 rand, but I worked for it. This one here, ye to miras maya, varsoma ao. So it came in the state. So what is got free, then you don't appreciate, you don't understand. We had inherited Islam by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, right? We didn't have to work for it, we inherited it. Allah Ta'ala blessed us with good parents, but Allah elevate the stages, right? parents, grandparents, and then the practice Islam and they ushered us into Islam also gracefully. So we must be appreciative to them. Now, there is another person who did not have the blessing of inheriting, being an inherit, searching, working hard. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, the son of a Majusi, magician, right? Fire worship. And his parents also very wealthy, influential, powerful, mighty. And the only son, so they're so possessive of the son that they won't allow him to go. Like how one will take care of his one daughter. Daughter, now she's being observed all the time, but she doesn't run away here, there, whatever. Name will get spoiled. So they're taking a lot of care of him, not allowing him to go. And Allah Ta'ala's whole focus is the heart. What is the state of the heart? That's why the Buzurana didn't say that your iman only gets perfect when you consider yourself to be worse than an English kafir. Imagine. You consider yourself to be worse than an English kafir. So now, the statement is a little bit strange, right? You got iman, he doesn't have iman. Then how can you consider yourself to be worse than him? So there's a lot of answers, but one answer Allah put in my heart. You as a person is apart from the grace of Allah Ta'ala. See, leave the grace of Allah Ta'ala. And you as a person, right? Then, do you know what you can do? Perhaps you put shaitan to shame also. Yeah? You will put shaitan to shame as well. You can go so well, so bad. So the thing that has honored you is Allah Ta'ala's grace. So it's not you. You think it's myself. It's not you. It is the grace of Allah Ta'ala that has honored you. Now, when that iman came, you thought it's mine. And therefore I'm honored. No, it's just the honor of Allah Ta'ala, the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Imagine, you have no house, right? And suddenly, someone comes from the blue and says, this is my palace, you can have it, right? Use it, right? You can use it as long as you want. It's mine. Right? And where you came from? You came from a jundol. You know, and the jundol must be like the real third class, you know, real rundown. So you, the jundol itself, right? Can you be boastful of any other dwelling? You have the worst of everybody here. This person's kindness, what you see is his kindness. It's nothing to do with me. It is, what you're seeing is that person's kindness. Me, otherwise, I'm the jundol. Now, where this comes out from the Quran Sharif, Ma ubarri'u nafsi. Yusuf alayhi salam had commissioned an inquiry, the whole case. See, when he had given the meaning of the dream, then the king became very interested. Amen. We were here stuck. We just hit us, you know, a block now, and we couldn't move. The advisors, the ministers, all threw in their towels. Ma nahnu bi ta'wil ahlami bi alimin. They threw in the doubts. We don't know about this thing here. And this man comes from the jail and he is teaching us. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. And the dream he's giving is perfectly logical. So he's explaining it. It's perfectly logical. I must see this man. Where is this man? So, Yusuf alayhi salam is called. But Yusuf says, you know, I only come. First, you must commission an inquiry into my case. The whole case, just make an inquiry. Proper investigation. because I'm thrown into jail for no reason. A false allegation, and I'm thrown into jail. Now, say for example, the king is going to call me, right? And I'll give him some advice, some direction, etc. Then I'll have to be working closely, because he'll see me, he'll see my capabilities, he'll want me to be his advisor. But there can be a doubt lingering in his mind, oh, this man here was in jail, and this is what he did, you see. And because of this, therefore he is languishing in prison, in jail. So this thought can be lingering in his mind. Or if this word goes around, then people will not have that level of confidence and trust in the person. So when your portfolio is a minister, it's a very important position. You're in charge of the finance. But you've got a track record. When you got a track record, now you became the finance minister. So will the people be comfortable with you? When you have a history, and you're on this position straight away, will people, they won't trust you either. What a person they put as a finance minister to run the affairs of the whole superpower. Egypt was a superpower at that time. And this man here, he's got a track record. And this suddenly now he's been posted to be the finance minister. He can run the whole country now. His dogs and his cats will become fat and healthy, and human beings will be dying with starvation. That's what he's going to do. So you see how people's mind can work. But they won't have the respect, they won't have the trust, and even if they show respect, they'll feel very insecure within their minds. And Mustafa Rahmatullah says one day that he had to take a rickshaw, see. So they're crossing you can see now 200 meters ahead is a police, traffic police. So this rickshaw driver, he is swearing for no more. He's either F and B and whatever you could say, everything is giving to them. But as he comes close to the traffic cop, you know, that's guiding the traffic, so a lot of respect, and Babu, Salam, and you know. And as they moved on against us, really. So Mustafa says, but by just now you swore the person, and now like you respected him, like there wasn't a person greater than him on earth. What happened? So he started giving his swear words again. Every day I have to give him 10 rupees to be able to function here. If I don't give the table 10 rupees, I can't function here. So it doesn't mean that people respect you. They really have the respect. Sometimes they just show you it's a play of respect. It's a display of respect. It's not respect. So Yusuf didn't want this. He said, I am a Nabi, and I am going to be a minister just now. So when there's two things reconciled into me, a Nabi and a minister, and the king of the whole superpower here, then people must hold me in that respect and in that trust. I don't need that. But for the smooth functioning of this thing here, you need some level of confidence, trust. The man is he's genuine. Right? So therefore he says, no, your commission and inquiry, investigate my case. And the better thing will be you'll investigate the case whilst I'm in prison. Because I'm outside, I can still have some contact, speak to this person, that person. In prison, I've got nobody. But you'll do that case independently, go and make a proper investigation about myself. So it is not for his name and reputation. We will do this for name and reputation. The Nabi is doing it for two reasons. One is, I need to administer this. The smooth administration can only be if the man is respected. Otherwise, if he's a mess, right, then the staff that are working under him, they'll be even worse. Say, well, he is a mess up, so we also must do the same. Like what's happening internationally now, right? The people that are on the ground, they're seeing that the seniors are not right, right? They're corrupt. So then why should we get left out? They all have got they all got the two bobs, right? So why shouldn't we get? So this is how they're reasoning. So there'll be wholesale corruption. Now this is happening wholesale, this is happening in the whole world, right? Just that in some places it's more crude, in some places it's open, but it's happening. Right? One small thing you can't get. You must pay this person right, see this person right, and you get the thing. So now, Yusuf alayhi salam wants a smooth administration. He doesn't want any corruption. Number two is that he is a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. When he's a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, then they have to see a Nabi, the colors of a Nabi. Now, if they see that the Nabi is no different to them, then is there any reason for them to carry into Islam? He's also involved in corruption and everything else. So why should we be left out? So the reason is right. But then he says, Ma ubarri'u nafsi. This whole commission and investigation I have instituted not to prove my innocence. But Ma ubarri'u nafsi, not to prove my innocence. Why? I'm not proving my innocence because inna nafsa la'ammaratun bisu. The nafs, you know, I said, minus the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Then the person, what he is? He is an embodiment of problems. Fraud, haram, every conceivable or unperceivable wrong. He is an embodiment of that. So, the thing that brings you the honor is just the mercy and the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Minus that, not you. If you are right off, absolutely you are a disgrace, you are an embarrassment, you are shame. Just the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So that's why they say, until you don't consider yourself to be worse than a kafir, English kafir, right? They would say English because that was the worst type of person that they would imagine to be. Right? And so, until you don't feel like that, then your iman is not right. So iman is when you think that, see, this is me. This is me. And this what you see is just the mercy and the kindness of Allah Ta'ala that you see in me. See, so he says, Ma ubarri'u nafsi. And then he says, Inna nafsa la'ammaratun bisu. Nafs, the human nafs. So there's now two elements that are working within you. Right? There's one element, both these elements are not visible, right? But the one element that's working in you is leading you to the wrong, right? There's another element that is stopping you, right? So sometimes the wrong element gets the better. Sometimes the right element gets the better. In the nafsa la'ammaratun bisu. So the word Allah Pak has chosen here is in a superlative degree, advanced, you know, very, it's a violent commander to wrong. Ammara. Ammaratun bisu. So he's not just commanding you to wrong, but he's a violent, you know, vicious. He's not looking at anything. Not looking at right, not looking at left, just evil. So that's why I say, if we left to ourselves, just ourselves we left, then we'll put shaitan to shame as well. We can do such things, unspeakable things you can do. See, when a person commits a wrong, right? Then there's a black spot on his heart. That's the first. When you commit a wrong. Now what is the effect of that wrong? What is the effect of that black spot? The effect of the black spot is, then your drive, your motivation towards good will proportionately now be less. Because there's a spot there. You don't see it like what it was before the drive, the to read, make namaz, etc., to study, to understand things, to give time for Allah Ta'ala, for his deen, etc. Now your heart is working. And then suddenly you find a crack in that now. Yeah, I don't find that level of motivation. There's no drive now. I have the intention, but there's no drive, nothing pushing me. So now, that is the result of that black spot. The block, that black spot came there, and proportionately the drive has been affected. Imagine, the engine, everything is right, right? Everything is right. But the car is not moving. You see, hey, you know, the tire is not right now. I could have done 200 of this thing, and I can't do 50 kilometers properly. Tire is bad. But now you see what happens. One small thing, and the whole drive gets affected. So, rather than scolding and shouting the car, go and fix it up, go and fix the tire up. So the same here, the tire in your heart, that's got fixed up. All the pressure is out. When the pressure is out, so there's no speed. There's no movement. The movement is going very sluggish. So the intelligent thing, right thing, is rather than swearing and shouting and all that, the intelligent thing is, if I fix this thing up, you'll pick up the speed. So the rot has come into the heart, that small dot has come. And that's bringing about the reduction in the speed. And the person will be lucky if he identifies that this is the problem. Let me go and correct it, let me rectify it straight away. Cry, ask Allah Ta'ala, rub it out, wash it out. The same will happen in the motor car. Try, fix it up, change the tire, right? Do everything. Alhamdulillah, you will restore the same speed. In fact, sometimes even better. Just the change of the tire, just that pressure, right? And what a massive change. Where you couldn't do 50 kilometers nicely, now you're doing 250 kilometers. What a big change. See, man, only air, this is, man, nothing else. The thing was only short of air. But this air, yeah, air caused all this thing here. So this whole collapse on the speed, spiritual speed, was this black spot. As though that was the spanner in the work. So now the right thing is, come on, correct that, rectify it. So I tell people, right, yeah, the rights of Allah Ta'ala and the rights of people, when you're trying to correct yourself, then take some time. You know, as you say, I want some space and time. Sometimes I just switch off the lights, you know, at home, playing with the children. So say, I can't see. So I ask them, where are you? So one bright spark was, you know, I'm in space. I said, oh, you understand where you are. So it's not so dark. So what I'm getting now, what I'm getting there, is that you recognize the problem. So give yourself some space and time. And after you've given yourself some space and time, reflect, all right, now I'm 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Now, all the back, you know, from the time I came to know myself till now, what's wrong? The rights of Allah Ta'ala, the rights of people, they went off. The small, the big, verbal, emotional, physical, material, financial, hey, think about it. You know, before I get to the immigrations in the next realm, before that happens, let me go and sort all that out. Small, it may seem to be 1 cent, it may seem to be just one word, but let me just go and sort it out. Whatever it's worth, it's easier here than that side. There, because there you can't pay with rands and cents. You can't pay with contacts and influence. There it's your hard-earned sawab. And there everybody's battling for sawab. I'm battling, you battling, everybody's battling. Nobody wants to share. Everybody's in the same predicament. I must get out of this thing here. Because are you seeing now, the only thing that works, the only currency works, is the sawab. That's what works there. But I'm sure that I don't want to share with you. What can I share with you? I can only share with you. I got enough, a lot of surplus I got, then I can share with you. But I don't, I'm myself broke. Then what am I going to do? Imagine you in the middle of Karu, right? Middle of the Karu you are. And you just got one, half a glass of water, right? And your dear friend comes. You want to share it with him. That is a question of life and death. You don't have that half a glass, you will die. You pass it on to him, he'll live. So now you say, no, friendship is there, but awal khesh, ba'dahu dargesh. First, we start off with ourselves, then we'll see what we can do after that. So, understand what this thing is all about, right? So, that's why I say, a nice time to do this is now, you think after, don't talk. Don't look around, unnecessarily don't look around. Mind will say, hey, look around, see the trees, see this, that, all that. You can do all the time, you can do all your whole life, you can see the trees, gardens, rivers, seas, lakes, all you can see. Now look at the lake within you. Look at the shrubs within you, the weeds within you, the poison, the venom that is within you, the snakes and the serpents within you. Look at all that. all the back and forth, look at all that, and say, no, I need to change at some point. It's not too late, and when it's going to be. So this is what we're supposed to be doing here. And then we don't come to our defense. We are on the attack on ourselves. We'll attack, but who will attack? Ourselves. Yeah, you did this. This day. Think, go in isolation to yourself. Take a pen and a paper. See, all right, I came of this age, 13, 14, I came of age. I was in school at the time. What wrongs I did. When there's some realization, then people become conscious, alhamdulillah. So one youngster, maybe about 19 or 18, now you talk to them, conscientize them, right? So then he will ask. So after further, he's asking me that I was with an acquaintance and he wanted to show me something. So he pulled out his phone and he showed me. He said, but you know, the one thing, I saw something wrong, but I closed my eyes. Will I get guna for that? See that conscious. Now that conscious is disturbing him. That he showed me the phone and I saw something that I'm not supposed to be seeing. So will I get, but although I closed my eyes straight away, so will I get sin for that? See that the question. Isn't it a good question? Now that is when that conscious comes in. So I answer this youngster, see, this device is such, this gadget is such, that there is the element of wrong in this thing there. When you're going to come, Allah knows, but there is the element of wrong. And what our deen teaches us, things that are of a doubtful character, there's an element of wrong, you don't experiment with that. Now there is a bottle, right? And you know, there was some heavy toxin inside, very toxic acid was inside, right? So, someone filled up with water, and he gave you. Will you drink from that? So no, there was some heavy toxic inside. That may be potent, you know. And that could cost my life. So you will think 101 times before you have that water. So same here, you apply the same rule here. I'm going to use this, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to be safe? And then if something happened to the drive, you know, we talk about drive, the speed and all that, then how am I going to come back to the line, you know? The speed has been affected. Something has gone off now. To come back onto line is going to be difficult. So I'd rather don't experiment with these things here. So it's a good time to look at the back, you know, introspect, look into the back, where I've gone wrong, who I went wrong with, and forget thinking about them. So he is like that, and this person did this, and I'm still better. Don't think that. Don't come to your defense. You're going to think, oh, I'm still alright, and that person is like that, and this other person is. You're never going to come right. But it's your qabr, your grave, your hereafter, your future. Then why you bring other people, drag other people to the equation? Think about yourself. You know, drag others to the equation, then you'll go further off. Now you are going for a holiday, right? To say Cape Town, right? You got your nice van or something. Okay? So you're going to think about, hey, but his chap's van is not right, his car is not right, and what about that person there? You know, he's got a motor engine problem, he's got this problem. You're going to think like that. You're going to think, hey, I need to see now my thing is right or not right. I don't want a problem on the road, en route. Well, have a nice, because I got my family all with them with me. I don't want to be sitting there in the middle of Karu now, and I am really in a jam. I don't want that to happen. Won't you think that? Or you'll think, no, but that person's car is also not good. His car is also not roadworthy. His engine is in a terrible state. And how they allowed him to drive? You know? What's wrong with you? You're not even a driver. Are you going to think like that? You're going to think primarily about your own. So this is what we are talking here. That when you come here, then primarily think about yourself. And even if you're not here at home, take some time. If you can't do it in the quietness of your room or something, go into the masjid at a quiet time now. Let me think. Take a paper, writing down, all right. These are all my problems. I'm putting myself under X-ray into a scanning machine. And clearing all my wrongs of the past, present and past, and what I am currently doing now. I need to clear all these things, all the backlog I need to get all right. When the SARS is on your case, then are you comfortable? You're looking at what are the possibilities, you know, they must have picked up this, so on here, the other thing. You're checking out every possibility that you don't get implicated. So now, the same future you are going through, now, before you get implicated by it, do the check. Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. Check yourself out. Account yourself. See, is there a small thing? Is there a small problem? Big problem? Something that I count as insignificant? Is there a problem? Let me think about it carefully. So see, Yusuf alayhi salam, what he's saying. Ma ubarri'u nafsi inna an-nafs la'ammaratun bis-su'. Now you understand that. Kafir al-farang, how is that? Kafir al-farang sabbatan or something. I translated it, right? Ma ubarri'u nafsi inna an-nafs la'ammaratun bis-su'. See, a human being, everybody likes that people should be speaking good about you. Don't you want? You don't want people to give you a bad name, embarrass you, talk bad about you. Everybody wants. Unfortunately, then we have the same mentality that we want people to speak good about us. They must think good about us, irrespective of the wrong that we are doing. Secret, open. Think about what you are. Think now, a few years now in religion, in deen, right? You became a little bit righteous. Now think, before you could come on, what were you? What are you doing? What were you involved in? Now suddenly Allah Pakt has covered you, so you forgot all your past. So think like that. When you think like that, the more you think like that, you unearth yourself. When you unearth yourself, you say, alright, I am this person here. Now I have identified myself, what I was. So I got no feet to stand. I'm a disgrace, I'm an embarrassment. And all I see, if it's any good, it is just the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Kindness of Allah Ta'ala has honored me like this, has kept me with people, has keeping me in respect. It's just purely so that feeling must be a feeling of a reality. And not an artificial feeling. Not an artificial feeling. Like your friend is there and he allowed you to drive the Ferrari, right? In his presence he's allowing you. Or he's accompanied you. How careful will you be? A Ferrari now, top of the range, 35 million car. Give you the honor to drive it for 1 hour. But I will be accompanying you. For a moment you'll think it's yours. And will you be careful about it? And careful about it, you'll be very... But you know, it's his blessing. He's put you onto the driving seat now, you're running around, and you're looking like the motor. But how careful will you be about it? How careful? So Allah has honored you. A Ferrari of good actions, good habits, good values, good words, good manners and all that. That was just the Ferrari and the honor of Allah Ta'ala that has covered you. And so when people are respecting, not respecting you, they're respecting what? Respecting the divine cover, that veneer, that divine veneer that's being respected, not you. We like fools, we think now, hey, see, what a pious person I am. Just after I was talking about ujub, self-admiration. So this is the self-admiration and pride. That's the biggest killer. On this path here, you can't find a killer worse than this. Especially now, say, you were nothing, now you became Hafiz. Now, hey, people are shaking hands. And you say, hey, I must be something real now, you know, for people to show me that respect. And you move on a little bit more pious, coming a little bit early to the masjid, you know, he's a buzrug, man. You know, one, two persons have to give that compliment, and you say, no, I am a little bit pious here. I'm reaching there. And then someone came and said, hey, you know, make the honey. Say, no, now my disease is a dose now. See, I'm making tahdik for everybody. See that? What do you think there? Now, shaitan puts all those thoughts in your mind. That you can't become a victim of this self-admiration. It's small, but the way that thing smashes you down, it smashes completely. At that time you think, it is Allah Pak's. What? Allah Pak's Ferrari? That's in my hand. It's mine. I can't play around with this. I must understand and be convinced it's Allah Ta'ala's. But now the nafs of the shaitan makes you think that it's yours. You did it. You became pious. And they're beginning to recognize your piety. And therefore they're flocking to you. But at any given second, you can't think that. Not for a moment you can't think that. It's not yours. Not you. It's all borrowed strength. It's not your strength. It's borrowed strength. If you think now, borrowed strength, must think like this. You see this tow truck, right? Tow truck is taking another car, right? That car that they're moving very fast now, say 200, and that car that is being towed, moving at the same speed. That towed car, can it be proud about itself? Can it be proud? It can't be proud for a moment. Or even better example is, you've got this big trailer, it's got about 6-7 cars on top, right? Hey, they're moving it, it's moving at a speed. So this car here, can you think that it's moving? Its own move. Hey, you've been carried, that's your movement. Now that thing is thinking, hey, but see, how fast you're moving. So we are in that position, we're on that trailer. There's absolutely no movement. Someone else is bringing about the movement, and we considering the movement to be ours. That's where we are. No, absolutely no movement. At least those cars are still worthy of praise. We are really smashed, broken down. Not even roadworthy. And Prabhupada has put us on. We're not roadworthy, absolutely nothing. Right off. Prabhupada felt sorry. He took a little bit of pity on us and he showed us his grace, right? So when he showed us his grace, he saved us from disgrace. Samjha? When he showed us his grace, he saved us. Nothing belongs to you. All for a second thing is yours. Not even a second, not even your dream or thing like that. Not even your dream. So you see this killer, this pride and admiration, self-admiration, pride. So pride and self-admiration comes to you. I say, for Allah Pak said, don't experiment with this thing. You don't know which moment you can just get struck. You become a victim to this thing here. Now, a small experiment. Now, you may know, today is Sunday, right? Sunday afternoon, now there's nobody at home. And one pretty girl passes your house. She wants some direction. She came to your house. She got all the features, everything. Like you alone, nobody in the house. And this thing just rocked up here then. You'll be finished. You won't be even a kebab. You'll be broken, absolutely. Not even a pauper. You'll just mash down with it. Just one case example and you're gone. Class. So don't ever think it's you. For a moment, don't think it's you. It's just Allah Ta'ala. One friend of mine was telling me, it happened about, let's say, over 45 years. Right? He says that he was in London 45 years ago. Hazrat was there, Rahmatullahi. So he traveled, he flew up to go and meet Hazrat Ji, Rahmatullahi. So now, I think there in London, they prefer using the public transport. So he jumped into the train. And the train, that whole coach that he's in, is absolutely empty. Absolutely nobody there. So he's going to meet Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi. And now, he's not even married at the time. 22 years, not even married. One young white girl, and she comes right next to him. Pretty, everything, eyes are blue, color is right, everything, she's just next to him. And then, she says, would you mind if I just pass my hands? The party over. He's finished. She's passing the hands. A little bit of buttons, I can open it. Now he's got a shock. What's happening? Then she started opening up a little bit. That happened, he says, I don't know what happened at that moment, precisely what happened, that I just swore her, whatever, bad word here, cockroach, whatever, he swore and ran out. Anyway, he says, I then went to Hazrat Ji Ramadan's residence. All this thing happened here, right? You see, Allah's grace, I'm showing you, why don't ever think it's you. You just have to move his grace, what happens to you. So anyway, now came to Asaji Ramtare. Asaji looked at him, smiled. Mulviji, Allah Ta'ala ka fazal hai. It wasn't you, it was just Allah Ta'ala's fazal. Otherwise you are gone. She came, you didn't even invite her, nothing. She came right onto your lap and she did whatever she was. It was just Allah Ta'ala's grace that saved you. Now, yesterday I was speaking about this yesterday, you know, to have that state of istira. It means, see, between khawf and raja, fear and hope, right? Fear and hope, all the time. So therefore, Allama Qurtubi Rahmatullah says, this whole ship, yourself, it means, you can only go right if this both are balanced, what? Khawf and raja. Fear and hope, you fear and hope. But if there's an imbalance in one of these things, then you go in. So when there's going to be an imbalance in one of these two, there's too much of hope and no fear, then you're going to drop very badly. Or there's too much of fear and no hope, then also you're going to drop. So you need to have the hope and the fear. Like when you're driving, you need the accelerator to be right. Right? You can drive. And you need the brakes to be right as well, to be moving, right? I know when children are so some of the people, right, that you, some of them passed away already. So right, I mean, like in the 70s, so it's like, did this go in Jamaat? So all, now youngsters now, more than Jamaat, more the right to go to Johannesburg, right? So now, I don't know where, what crap car he got. But I can remember still, that was such a bad car, that car. Right, every 15, 20 kilometers you're moving, and you have to cool the radiator. The brake massage, you know, say you have to go to stop there, right? Say about 100 meters. From now you should pop the brake before you reach there. See, from 100 meters now you just keep popping the brake and you stop it. Yeah. So understand what you are, right? Understand what you are, then you move right. If you don't understand what you are, really, you're gone. Inna nafs ala ammaratun bisu. This is the nafs. Mr. Nafs. See, Mr. Nafs, what it is, understand. So the moment you are balanced in the fear and hope, then you're moving right. Then imbalance, you're going off. You can see now the show coming up, right? People are going to talk about you and whatever. Then you just have to overwhelm yourself with fear. Think about now, you know, what my past was, you know. What I was doing in school and those days, what I used to be doing, you know. And Allah Ta'ala can reverse the whole thing. What? He can reverse the whole thing. Like ours, we can kama kuntum ta'udun. He can reverse you. What you were now, you know, you are now like this, right? But can Allah reverse you? Can He bring you back? He can bring you to the same spot where you were. He'll bring you right to that spot. See, you don't have to go running for an example. See, this country, right? Pre-94 election. That's how many years? Say 26 years, right? 26, 27 years, right? So, the Afrikaner was the boss. He showed him respect. Meneer, 100. So he was strong, very, very respectful with him. And at that time, I can remember, like, a person felt that the Afrikaner got the monopoly on intelligence and brains. You're not intelligent. That's how we should think. The whites, they got the monopoly. And now, the poor now, sometimes you're driving on the road, you see, one white this side here, this side is begging help. What they were then, and what they are. Can you see that? What they were? Like the bosses, rulers, everything else. And now, Allah just turned the tables around. Now what they are. Can you see how Allah can change you also? Don't think that this only pertains to this person here. It can relate to you as well. You were like this, Allah can replace. Over a second, just in a second, He can turn you around. So the brains, the intelligence, the righteousness, whatever you've got, don't think it's yours. For the moment, don't think it's yours. You can be so intelligent, so capable, acumen, everything. And in a second, Lapaka just snatch everything away. What happens to you? So this is why he says that you get the equilibrium, you know, the balance right, when there is the equal proportion of fear and hope. So when you see yourself in a position of honor now, then you remind yourself, okay, this was your real position. This was where you were. You remind yourself of your real state. This is where you were. Think of all the nonsense that you did in your days, right? Quiet moments, open moments, you don't know. Two people came here, right? So one person is reprimanding Allah. What are you doing? In front of me. So now that person retort, he said, yeah, but you know the school is what you were doing. I could still picture that. That was totally silent. In school days, you know, in 7, 9, what you were doing. When he spoke about that, one moment, now he's acting pious, right? He's doing whatever else, right? But he just tried to flip him around. But you know what you were doing. So I don't say you will not advise the person on it, but don't despise, don't think too much of yourself. At any given moment, don't despise, don't think that it's self-attained. Don't think it's your hard work. It is only, purely, 100%, it is just the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Until you don't have that realization with conviction, you can't move. Okay, so I was speaking about this dot. That impedes your progress, everything. So once you have taken stock of yourself now then sincerely make tawbah. Then think now, after you have taken stock of yourself, then think, see, grave I'll be myself. Right? I'm totally helpless. In the grave, from all sides I'm covered. No access, absolutely no access. Yeah? You think you'll take your foot down and access? Who would access from there? Nobody, you can't access. It's blocked from all sides. From top, below, right, left, front, behind. You're blocked. No access, absolutely no access. Now, you want the comfort there. You want happiness, you want comfort there. So think of that level, that stage. What's going to be my position there? So you thought about yourself, then you thought about the loneliness. And the time of death is about the most uncertain thing. The most uncertain thing in life is the time of death. Do you know anybody else? It's the most uncertain thing. Now you took stock of yourself, then you thought about the loneliness. Right. See, you have to plan your whole thought, program your whole thought. Took stock, then you thought about the lonely moments, right? You won't have your dearest and nearest one, nobody at you. But the Shaykh Hadith Samar Ahmadi, he speaks quite often about this. He says, see, that moment is such a difficult moment, right? Imagine now, you lowered the person, your friend or your father or whatever else, right? For a few days you remember him, make some sadaqah or some sabab and all that. And then his history. Right? Then his history. Right? Now you won't even think that all the good I got is because of my father or my mother, right? The most you'll do is eat some kulwala, shab shab, 1-2 minutes, say the sabab, carry on. Anything more than that, you will give some quality time as a token of appreciation for your mother or for your father, or shaheed for me. And read nicely the Yaseen, love with muhabbat, as though I'm standing by her and passing her the gift. Do we do that? Or just run through it, Kulullah 3 times, one Quran Sharif, and it's carry on. How much they did, and now how do we appreciate? That is now only those deeds that are coming in free of charge, right? free of charge. Kulvala is free of charge. So the deeds that are free of charge, we're sending it. And how we're sending it? Haphazardly. Do we have that love, that muhabbat, that feeling when you're passing that reward? Do we have it? Think to yourself. And Sheikh Sadi, he also gives a lot of examples that. He says that one person got he's crying profusely. What happened? My dog died. He's crying bitterly, very, very bitter. Dog died. What happened? No, out of hunger, starvation, everything died. So I see what a big box over your head. What's there? Some meat and some nice delicacies, you know. Yes. So that thing was dying of starvation. Why didn't you throw some meat to it? Sure, so throw some meat, at least save the thing from dying. So no, I worked it out, the crying is cheaper. I worked the whole thing out, you know, the crying is a little bit cheaper, so I said, I'll cry, I'll compensate for the loss. Now, take out a nice piece of meat and pass it to the dog. It's too much that, you see. So, that's our relationship with the deceased, see. Now, you think of that moment when you want to be deceased. If you want to be treating yours like this, right, your elders and all that, then your juniors, how they'll treat you. So the conclusion will come to by, I need to do something for myself. I can't rely on that. That even that which is free, they will do it in a haphazard manner, and they will pass it on and run away. And then, I tell you, right, just the amount of money that you spend on yourself, right, for the day, you don't have the heart to spend so much on your disease. As I say, I'll give sadaqah to some poor, right? Someone doesn't have a rent, doesn't have light, I'll give it. But the sawab of my mother or my father. Does anybody do that? All right, the amount I spend on myself, that take out and with kindness and with love, a lover, with your grace, pass it on, shower it to my mother. But you see now how selfish we become. So now you think about yourself in those stages. First you took stock, then you thought of loneliness. Then the third stage, when you are there, then how people ostracize themselves from you, they break away from you. Now then what must I do? I say, what must I do now? Now you're thinking. See. So the thought now, that must come heavy in the mind. When it's come heavy in the mind now, then you come straight. So I said, the Allama Qurtubi is saying, that you can only go straight when both are balanced. Rahmat and hope and fear, right? Rahmat and hope and fear. So you have the mercy of Allah Ta'ala at heart, but you have the fear as well. You have both. Then you're moving right. And you only have hope and no fear, or you only have fear and no hope, then you go off. So you want to take it out. This is how you will think about it in your quiet moments, more especially in Ramadan. Because Ramadan now, one great part of our life is shut down, eating, right? Eating, you know that? That is shut down. When it's shut down, you've got the time to think about, to understand, reflect what I'm doing, what am I supposed to be doing, where I'm heading to, right? And what preparations must I take? What preparations must I make? And what is the best provision, right? What is the best provision for that side? You see, here, when I'm on this side of the world, then I know what's the best provision. Right? Anywhere I go, right? For example, I'm in Cape Town, best provision is snook fish. Right? So I know what's the best thing that's there, right? Right? Or someone says, no, not snook fish, man, sour fish, that's the best thing. Right? So when you were that side, you knew. On the side of the cover, what is the best thing? On the side of the cover, now you want this side, right? So what will be the best provision when you are there? The quiet moments, you got a company. Provision would mean, in the quiet moments, you got company, beautiful company, you know. It will make you forget the company of this world. So beautiful, so friendly, that you forget all the company of this world. When you're a little bit hungry, and the best food, then you'll forget mantras also. Everybody will forget. Everybody will forget. So that food is so tempting, so nice, so tempting. That food that will come from Jannah, right? Allah will give us all, right? That will be so tempting. So you need a friendship, you need food, right? But you need also the environment to be looking nice, attractive, and all that. Right? Then it will be so attractive, right? It's better than the best holiday resort. You went to Disney World and saw everything, right? But that will put Disney World, it will make it look like a matchbox, you know, like a filth. The Jannah will make this thing look like a filth. So it's here. For my entertainment, I need something. For my food, I need something. For my company, I need something. So on that side of the world, what's going to be the best provision? You only got one chance, right? Labak says, only one chance. And then when you got one chance, make the best of it. You're not going to get a repeat one chance. So the best chance, the best, what is the best thing? Best provision. So the Quran Sharif says, what's the best provision? وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. For that leg of the journey, take a provision. What? For that leg, take a provision. But what is the best provision? The best provision is taqwa. See that? Taqwa is the best provision. And taqwa is not a difficult thing. Taqwa is any small thing, big thing. Allah will be happy or not happy. Allah is not happy. I don't want to spoil my provision. You know, that's my provision. I don't want to spoil that. It's a doubtful thing, or I'm not clear about it, or Allah is displeased. But I don't want to spoil that. It's just my provision. I can't trust on my people that they'll keep sending for me. But yes, I can prepare for myself. I can send the provision for myself. Now, what's the best? The Quran says, say, Kursi para, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. And you take a provision. But what is the best provision? Is this? Restrain, refrain. You want to say something for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for my own provision, I'm just keeping quiet. I don't want to get that spoiled. My own investment, I don't want to spoil it. You know, on that side now you want to travel, right? You want to move from one place to the other place, right? And here, there, all that. Right? So Allah Ta'ala gives you the best provision. The vehicle He gives you the best food, the best association. It makes you forget everything else. It's so attractive, so beautiful, that everything is forgotten. When you're there, and you're relaxed, everything is forgotten. The last thing you forgot. But that is what you send for your provision. And the best provision, Allah Pak is saying, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The best thing of Allah Ta'ala. So, in this month here now, we think, all right, you know, these are realities. And the realities, what have I done for myself? What provisions? I can't think now, his car is all not right, and he's not right. I can't think of all that. I need to think about my own. That's where we start. Allah Ta'ala is all to figure.